Welcome into the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com for Thursday, October 23rd, and only 3 days left in this fall meet. Tom Leach, along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development, looking at the late pick four, races 6 through 9 on the Thursday card, Jim. And by the way, I will tell you, there is a turf pick three bet on the Thursday card. It'll start in race 5. It's a popular bet there with a $3 wager. But let's jump in race 6 and start this pick four, Jim. It is maiden claimers, 50K level, 3-year-olds and up, 2 turns at a mile and a 16th. How'd you see it?
I like to do maiden claimers. I like to find first-time starters because none of them have been successful. There aren't any first-time starters in here. So I went to the horse, that the logical horse here. I couldn't get past Antietam for Todd Pletcher, and I read Ortiz dropping out of a maiden special weight coming out of Saratoga and Aqueduct, where he ran well. He ran pretty well in the one at Saratoga. At Aqueduct, he was up on the lead and then faded, got tired. Mile 16th might be a question mark for him, but I couldn't really find anybody else in here that I liked better. Chad Brown's horse debuted at Churchill at 6 furlongs, stretching him out to a mile and a 16th. Nuance, the 4, would be my second choice. And then Private Show for Brad Cox at a 54 buyer, first time out at Fairgrounds, has not been out since November of 2024. So there are a lot of reasons not to like the other horses. I think Voulez-Vous for Kenny McPeak on the outside. But again, the horse has raced twice at maiden special weight and gotten beat by 19 lengths both times. So I couldn't find a really good alternative to Antietam. So I'm just going to take a stand. We'll get to pick 4. I'm going to actually single this horse at 2-1 and hope that Ortiz and Pletcher come through for me.
I am taking a stand against Antietam. I've got him as my 4th choice. I took Private Show on top. Long layoff, certainly. But this horse coming out of the Brad Cox barn with a long series of works, I think that suggests, especially several 5-furlong works, suggests to me that Cox will have this one fit enough. He's got really good numbers in a lot of categories, obviously, but maiden's dropping down is a good angle for him. And I'm going to take my stand with him, not to single, but I like him a lot in here. Voulez-Vous, as you said, hadn't shown much, but it's a drop in class, and Kenny McPeak often does well in the second half of the meet, so I'm going to include that one on the ticket. Nuanced, making a similar move, adding blinkers. That's a high win rate move for the barn, and then Antietam just with the experience edge. But the Pletcher barn has cooled off considerably after the first couple of weeks, and at a short price, I'm going to try to beat that one and lean in on the Brad Cox runner. The 7th race is allowance at non-winners of 2 lifetime. It's 2-year-olds going long on the turf. And obviously a lot of mystery here. I ended up taking a shot with the 6 East Village off a sharp improvement on the buyer scale in the 2nd start. Come back with a couple of local works for McPeak. Expressway won first time out, then finished 4th in a stake. Full effort for the Cox barn. Big improvement last time out in the 3rd start. Now, and the runner-up for that race came back to win here, but is going up to face winners for the first time. And an easy win from the Walsh barn, won the first time out. The extra distance might help this one get back to the winner's circle. And you got Cox and Walsh at the top of the battle for the trainer standings going into the Wednesday card. So I'm going 4 deep in here with East Village on top. How about you?
I had pretty much the same horses that you did. I'm going to take Full Effort on top because of that last effort being so much better at Kentucky Downs. But you take a chance at the horse just like Kentucky Downs. And you're right that he broke his maiden, and then coming back against winners first time is always tough. So for that reason, there's a couple horses on the outside that I like just as well. Expressway, the 9 for Bill Mott, broke his maiden at Aqueduct at 6 furlongs. They threw him right into a grade 3, the Futurity, off that maiden win. Went off at 9-1. Only 6 horses in there, but only got beat 2 3/4. Those horses have not come back and won out of that race. So, but a 74 buyer certainly fits here. Baytown Dreamer has a lot of experience. This horse broke the maiden in the 4th lifetime start, and then they put him in stakes races at Woodbine, Kentucky Downs, and Aqueduct. And the most recent in the Pilgrim, he had a right off the lead at the half-mile pole and faded and got beat at a mile 16th, but probably ought to be more fit off that effort. So I think Baytown Dreamer for Paul McEntee and Ben Curtis has a shot at 8-1. And East Village for McPeak for the reasons you mentioned, and Brendan Walsh on the inside with Easy Wind and Tyler Gaffleon picking up the mount.
Eighth race is an allowance optional claimer for fillies and mares, three and up, six furlongs on the main track. Sam's Treasure ran really well against a good-looking winner last month at Churchill Downs, so I'm going to take that one, making its first start for Paulo Lobo. Irvadine comes off a break for trainer Dallas Stewart. This horse did run a good third here last year, so it's just not a whole lot to get too excited about in this short field. Tanya Showers would be my next one, coming off a layoff from March. But the Hartman Barn got its first win of the meet last week, so maybe they'll have a few to fire at this final week of the fall meet here. I'm going to go with those three, Sam's Treasure on top. How about you?
Yeah, this one doesn't offer a lot of intrigue for me. I thought Sam's Treasure was a standout in here just because I'm not so certain about that last race and Paulo Lobo taking over for Wesley Ward. She had an 82 buyer, so she ought to fit here and she ought to be right there. But I think Tanya Showers for Chris Hartman off a long layoff since March, but she ran really well off a layoff last year at Churchill, only got to be half a length off a 6-month layoff in an optional 125. This is optional 80, so she's dropping in class as well. So Tanya Showers and Sam's Treasure, I can flip a coin between the two of them. I think the Ortiz brothers run 1-2 here.
Ninth race is a maiden event on the turf at a mile for fillies and mares, three and up. Who'd you go with here?
I could go with all of them here. I just thought this one was really, really wide open, and I wound up going six deep, I think, in here with a couple of prices. I think one price is the Palace Girl for Will Walden. One race at the Curra in Ireland only got beat 3/4 of length and went off at 40-1. That was October of 2024. So I don't know where this filly's been, but Johnny Velasquez is named a rider, and Will Walden has had a couple of big wins at the meet. So Palace Girl at 8-1. Tim's on the outside for Riley Mott off a good effort back in the spring at Kingland, and her first time out. Stuck down on the inside at 20-1 and got beat 3 3/4, has been off since April. So I think that's why they're long prices. But I think, you know, 3-year-old fillies can get better during the summer, and I think Tim's has a shot. The logical ones are Lady Iva for Brett Calhoun, the 10 horse with Morales, Rethink for Chad Brown. Race at Kentucky Downs wasn't anything to write home about, but she did move forward from her debut. And then the two horses on the inside, Triumphant Spirit. Seems like Brendan Walsh has a live horse in every race that we handicap. And this one fits the bill off a Fairgrounds race last November, has been off for quite a time too. So I think this race really, whoever is ready, and I can't tell who's ready from looking at past performances. And then Auntie for Michael McCarthy and Ben Curtis coming off a maiden special weight near miss at Kentucky Downs. So I'm going to go 60, but I could even go deeper in here, but I try to eliminate the obvious bad ones. And Steve Asmussen has one, Pretty Tappet with Ortiz, that's 10-1 that I could be talked into as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on taking a look at this race. I ended up with 5 on my ticket, and Triumphant Spirit was my top pick. Just the steady improvement through the 3 starts last year, got a good draw, and the Walsh Barn can certainly get them ready off a layoff, and they've been firing from day one of the meet. Auntie, couple of good efforts in the last 3 starts. Speed figures, nothing special, though. Tim's, I thought, was interesting, too. Tough post position for this 1 mile distance, but I'm a Riley Mott fan, and she ran pretty well on this course last spring and has been working steadily here. The 8 had the Palace Girl. First start for the Walden Barn, went percentage good on that angle. The 10, Lady Iva, 85 buyer, first time out, then had some traffic trouble in the following race when stretching out. So if she could get somewhere back close to the 85, that would be awfully tough in here. So 5 deep for me in this last leg with Triumphant Spirit on top. As we go to the pick 4, I ended up with a $60 ticket. I just took 2 in that first leg. I like the Brad Cox runner a good bit. So I went 5-10 with 1-6-7-9, with 2-4-6, with 1-2-8-10-12. $60. How about you?
I spent $30 singling a 3 in the first leg with 1-6-7-9-10, with 2-4, with 1-2-6-8-10-12. I think the first and third legs are not going to be wide open. The other two, you get prices. So I only spent $30. You could build on that if you want to spend a little bit more.
We will be back for the Friday edition of the In the Money podcast right here at KeenelandSelect.com.